Hey everyone, this is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions.
And welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast.
What's up?
And hey, we got our host Alfonso over here in the corner. Hey Alfonso.
Hello everybody.
All right.
Well, welcome to episode 52.
52.
Episode 52.
Man, we didn't even do like a celebration for our 50th.
No, we didn't realize it was our 50th episode we were recording. We had that hiatus for so long. I think we were just surprised to be back.
That's true. We're happy just to be
here. Yeah, we're just happy to be here.
What they don't know that are listening at home, work, school, wherever they have their car, we have like balloons everywhere. Confetti just went off. Ah, wow. People are running around screaming, happy birthday.
We just didn't time it right.
Yeah, we missed the timing. But it's okay. Lesson learned. And honestly, our sound is going to be so good today. John's got it dialed in like a champ.
John specifically said before we started, Nathan, this is the best that you've sounded, and I have to agree.
Yeah, well, thank you. I've been working on my voice, but on top of that, the placement of where we're sitting, hanging out, the equipment, John's rocking it out. John, say what's up, John.
Yo.
Hey.
Hello.
What do you mean you've been working on your voice?
Well, John can work on his. I'm working on mine.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, what are we going to talk about on our 52nd?
Before we get into that, we had a lot of feedback on those last few episodes.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to touch into that. But before that, we're getting feedback because we're hitting a lot of places, aren't we, Mike? Like, we are reaching a lot of countries.
We are. What actually surprised me is, you know, as much as the fine people of Germany like to listen to
us. Hi, Germany.
Hey, Germany. You are our first loves.
Yes.
But Germany's been passed up by Vietnam.
Wait, actually by Vietnam?
By Vietnam, yeah.
The map you sent me, I didn't break it down, just showed all the continents, Oceania and South, North America, Europe, and
yeah,
it was so cool to see that map.
Vietnam specifically.
Where's that at? Where's Vietnam at?
It's just north of Wisconsin.
Oh, is it north? Is it northeast or northwest?
We'll check out the map.
Okay.
I'll show you. I'll put it up.
I need to know that because I'm not going to sleep well tonight. But it's so cool that we're just making that contact out there. And as when we first started this podcast, it really is just some dudes hanging out, just talking about things that work for us, things that failed, encouraging people to chase their dreams. It really isn't a smear campaign or anything. It's just about having a good time, giving our perspective. And I love that other countries are listening to it. When we're going to bed, the sun's coming up, and they're listening to what we're chatting about. It's so cool.
That's very surreal, isn't it? The fact that someone in like Europe is getting an American perspective on theater.
Well, what I would actually love, so if the people of Vietnam or you know actually anybody from any of those other countries, because I was thinking, like, what type of theater are they doing in Vietnam?
Yeah, what are they producing?
Like, yeah, what types of stuff are they producing? And I would like to know about that, you know, from the listeners over there. And so there is a spot where you can write into us on the Buzzsprout page. You can just write in. It's got like a fan mail section. And so anybody from any of those other countries that's listening, we would love to, or, you know, from this country too, from America too, we'd love to hear from you. But I just like to know what type of theater are they interested in?
What questions they may have or opinions we have, and we could make it a conversation. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, so please feel free to write into us there on our Instagram page.
We used to get a lot on Buzzsprout, but now we're getting a lot on Facebook and Instagram questions. But it'd be cool to get the Buzzsprout questions from other countries. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, because for people that aren't connected with us on Facebook, they could just go right to Buzzsprout and it's like a new feature. They can write into us.
I remember we got our first Germany question. I literally was on the podcast and I saw it live because we pulled up on my computer, and I was like, "What? I'm like, huh? Are you for real?" It was a kind of a surreal moment.
Who dubs my voice in German?
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Nobody. That's why I've been working on my voice.
Like, do we have voice actors in each country that dubs us?
We'll get there one day.
Yeah, well, we're working on it.
Okay, so I had heard that we touched a sore subject, and I want to hear the more of the extent of that. I just walked in the room. We've just painted the picture for everybody. So I just got here. John was here setting up, and Nathan and Alfonso are here. And I walk in, and I'm hearing about this little bit of a touchy subject from our last one of our last episodes.
Yeah, you know, I think that we were just kind of informally talking about the amount of feedback that we got, and I was talking to Nathan, and I said, "Do you normally get this much feedback on episodes? Do you usually get people either directly telling you or indirectly telling you, or you're hearing it through word of mouth?" I'm hearing a lot of word of mouth. I'm hearing a lot of opinions about what we said in those episodes about things we said in terms of casting and
personally attacking.
It was just interesting. I wanted to get your perspective on that, because I know that we run in the same circles, so you have to have heard the feedback.
I heard all that.
Why were you personally attacking people, Nathan?
Well, according to certain groups, I'm a beep. But the truth is, I wasn't, and you can go back and listen to it. Any stories that I mention, yes, it's based off of, what do they say in TV? Actual fiction.
Dramatization.
Yeah.
They're based on factual events. Yeah. But it's drama, yeah.
I don't know how to say it, but the reality of it is, it's never personal. And yes, it's experiences that we or I've experienced, but I don't attack anybody, truly. And yes, I will speak my truth and my version of that, but I don't name people out. I don't pick on them. That's not my goal. That's not the point of this podcast. I think that's dumb. We're not trying to be influencers on that. We're not trying to be that level. Like, I know drama sells, but that's not what it's about for us. And here's the deal. People that feel that way and they take it personally, then maybe they need to self-reflect and see, maybe I think that about myself. Because I really have not thought about anyone specifically. And yes, there's certain people that maybe have some of those elements or act that way. But I don't do it that way. It's not worth it to me. I don't have the energy or time to do that. I'm worrying about raising my children, running a theater, paying bills, investing in my friends and family. Like, I don't have time to go, well, this person, nah, 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 nah. Nope, I don't care that much, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm losing followers from it. Michael, what annoys you? Because we need to lose you some followers here. We need to get you.
Yeah,
I didn't hear anything about what followers. You said at all.
What annoys me? Just off the top of my head?
Off the top of your head.
I want people to say, I'm unfollowing Michael Tennant.
We could give him something to unfollow you for.
All right.
Easy, though. We got to keep it.
Yeah, we just. Yeah.
Vietnamese.
What absolutely annoys the heck out of me is when I see someone advertise themselves and they're like, my name's Bob Smith and I'm an award-winning actor. Why the heck do you put you're an award-winning actor? What? Who cares if you won an award? I see this all the time. An award-winning musician. What award did you win? Who gave you this award? I don't know who gave that. Why do you advertise? Just drop that. If you're doing that, if you're advertising yourself, I won an award. Stop it.
Let your work speak for itself, kind of thing. Haven't you won awards?
Yeah, but I don't advertise that.
No,
I'm Michael. I'm on the podcast, and I won an award. You guys, in second grade, I got an award, and I'm still using it today. What do you mean you're an award winning? I don't know.
Well, Michael Tennant's follower list has no award winners now.
Yes. They all just left the building.
They all just left. And, you know, if we want to make some drama, I've never liked you, Alfonso. And afterwards, John wants to beat you up in the parking lot. Now we're going to see how many what feedback we get on this episode.
Oh, this is not good.
Man, that would be a great second episode.
That would be a great. You know what?
Come in with black eyes. Like, oh, yeah. My kidney's out.
Well, if that happens, we'll need some more video and pictures.
Of course.
I do want to say before we move on, I genuinely do love and appreciate anyone that does theater with us or anywhere. And there's nothing personal. People can get mad about it. And I understand feelings get hurt. And sometimes, like when you don't get cash or things go certain way, you're entitled to be hurt. You're entitled to be sad. Don't take it personally. There are people out there that cast that way or do act that way. I truly don't. Like, and some of the people that feel that way about what I've done or said, it's not like there hasn't been ample opportunities to work together in previous multiple shows, multiple experiences, whether it be the theater or just on a different professional world. It's fair game. And I genuinely love all those people. Even the people that I never really followed those people, so I didn't really get unfollowed. But the truth is, I do love them. Like, I care about them. Like, I do. I want them to succeed. I'm proud of their successes. And I root for their failures to become growth. Same I do for myself.
That was a beautiful speech. I think you should win an award.
I'm trying to downplay what you just caused. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I guess controversy sells, though, because we have a lot of viewership right now. So I guess that's good. I don't know.
Was it really that controversial, what was said on there? Because I remember, you know, that conversation, and I didn't think that we said anything that upsetting.
I would agree with that based on reviewing it, but I think that other people may listen to it and have different interpretations, and that's completely fair.
I guess that's the point of this podcast. Yeah. People could And that's a point of art. Take what you want from it, leave what you don't want, and use it.
And you know, the beautiful thing is we love hearing from listeners. So if you're confused or if you want us to elaborate on a point, we'll talk to you directly and we can have that conversation with you.
Did we say specifically what that conversation was that caused that for anybody who's just listening to this episode and didn't hear the previous episode?
I would probably say you should go back and just listen to the episodes.
Yeah,
just as a plug. I don't want to get too specific because then it will sound like I'm pinpointing things. And I don't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah,
it was something.
It was about A-plus actors. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you take a C actor over an A-plus? And we talked about how it was more about people's attitudes and how they approach a situation, being willing to learn and grow. Because if I'm willing to do that as a director/producer, then maybe you could do it as a performer. It was kind of like we touched on the generality of that, really.
But I don't know. I just feel like that is what any producer or director would... I think that they would agree with this.
Yeah.
I think largely... I don't think that that's like some wild, controversial opinion that no other director would share. I think that they would be like... Because, I mean, what do we say? Talent is important to... it's important, but only, to some... some aspect of it. Yeah. Only to...
There's more levels to it.
Yeah, there is more level to it. And then there's a point where your dedication and your attitude are going to come in. And yeah, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you are showing up late or you're not showing up at all, or you show up and you've got an attitude, it might be easier to take that C-plus actor and just grow them. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens.
And I will go on the record... I can truly say I've never cast a show going neener, neener, neener. Never. Never. And I've been... There's people I truly don't like. And we work together. Like, it's okay. And there's people that we work together and it doesn't work out and they part ways. That's okay, too. Like, I get it. We're humans. We're all not going to always get along. But I've never done neener, neener or go, oh, I don't like you. You're out. That's not how it works.
Trusting to make a point.
We wouldn't have a theater.
Right. Well, I can honestly say that I've been on both ends of that spectrum. I have been that, you know, that C-plus actor that was coming in and was just always, you know, trying his best to be there. But there were other people way better than me. And I can also say that I've been the one with the attitude sometimes. And
I think we all can honestly admit that.
I think everybody does at some point in time because, you know, you've got a full day. The weeks are long. You're tired. Then you show up at rehearsal. Something annoys you.
And art's vulnerable. You're putting yourself out there and you're being, I'll say, judged/critiqued. You're vulnerable. That's okay.
And that is hard when you're sitting there and you're trying your best and someone throws an opinion at you and it's they don't like what you're doing and you're sitting there giving it all. You could have that. And I certainly don't like that. And so they're, you know, right. hence I'm the one that's, you know, had the attitude sometimes, but it's like, you know, I've learned, okay, I got to take the step back and do that. And like, you know, self-examine there. And, as should everybody, it's a continuing process for everybody when you're in here.
I agree.
And I think this is a good segue to the topic I wanted to talk about today, which is how we present ourselves and things that we know going into a show, things we may not know going into a show, the unwritten rules of theater. And I want to talk about this mainly going in from a newcomer's perspective because nobody hands you a rule book when you go into theater. When you get cast, a lot of times people will audition for a show, they'll book it, and before they know it, they're in a rehearsal in a completely new environment, and it's very scary, and I can speak to it because I've been there, and you too, of course you've been there. Your first day in theater, I'm sure you can remember that. I want to touch on, first off, what are things you look at when you see somebody new coming into a theater, from when you cast them to that first day? What are things that you're looking for that actor? I'll start with you, Michael, on that.
Well, so these are people that are brand new. Are they brand new in your mind to theater or brand new to your company?
They're brand new to theater.
So they're brand new to theater. So they're complete novice, and they come in, and I see that they have so much to learn. They don't know what they're doing. They're out of their element. So what I usually do is I tell them to go over and audition for my good friend Nathan. A big part for me is that I want everybody to have fun, and like it's important to me that everybody's comfortable with one another and that everybody gets along. And so that's a huge thing for me right there, is that I kind of take that responsibility on, that okay, these people are coming in, I want this to be a very good experience for them. Not that it's all going to be fun and games, there's going to be plenty of work to do in there, but I also want them to have the freedom to laugh a lot and to be glad that they're there, and that this is much more of a fun outlet that they get to do than a place that they like, why did I sign up for this? I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want that at all. I want them to come and just have the time of their life. And so that's something I do. And so I'm looking for, you know, people that will gel creatively. And I always tell the actors, I'm not casting a robot. Like, I want to see what creativity you can bring to this. I want to see what you do. And if you have ideas, I want to hear them. Throw them out. Let's do this. Let's be creative together. And there's plenty of times that we've shown people the ropes, and you know, sometimes it's you forget what it's, you know, like sometimes, just because we are like a theater company, a lot of the people that I work with are very experienced, and so when you get somebody in there that doesn't know stage right, stage left yet, you know, that's kind of fun. It's they're the ones that are going to grow and learn the most, and I don't know. It's fun to go on that ride with them, that ride from being a novice up until opening night, and just see that, you know, that man, they have triumphed. That's fun.
Yeah, I agree with all those things Mike said. I also, like you said, we've been there for our first time. And what's weird is when you're doing different theaters in different locations, it's a little different at every place. My expectations will be different as far as when you first walk in. Mine are different than Mike's. And maybe the same generalities or the general like focus, but we have different things that we focus on. So I think the biggest thing is come in, listen, and be ready to just learn something new. And I tell this to my kids, and I do the same thing, and I've told this to my friends. Even if I know how to, we'll just say, even if I know how to build a boat, like a little toy boat, I know how to build it. And if you're teaching me, if I come to you and you say, someone says, Nathan, go to Alfonso or go to Mike's class, he's going to teach you how to build a boat. Most people go in and go, I know, I got it. I've had to practice this really hard because my pride and I want people to think I'm experienced, I know what I'm doing. But sometimes just zip it, listen, and impress. So I may learn, holy crap, what Alfonso or Mike just taught me. Wow, that's better than what I knew what to do. And then you apply that to yourself and use what you already know. And I tell people all the time, use what you can, throw away what you don't want. Sometimes just be quiet, listen, and be eager to learn something new. And if you don't, then guess what? As soon as you see my boat, you're going to go, wow, Nathan, that's impressive. You built that so fast, and it's great. So I got to impress. But there's obviously some general rules. Like, I just wrote a piece. I'll skip through it, but I wrote this piece about it. But it's literally called, so you got cast. Now what? Like, what? And, for example, come prepared. Like, you're already talented. You're there because you're talented. You got the role. So come prepared. Bring script. Bring a pencil. Bring a recorder. Bring things that will give you the best ammo to succeed. And only you know that is. Some people do flashcards. Some people don't need anything. They read it once. They got it. Write down your blocking. Don't make the director, choreographer, music director repeat it. Stay on top of it. Be eager to write it down. Be quiet, listen, and take it down. Use what you can, throw away what you don't. And then say thank you. Like, thanks a lot. Show your appreciation for being there. And these are things that I do, and sometimes I fail. And then rehearsal is not the time to do the work. Rehearsal is the time to practice and work. That's the time to do that. To rehearse is to practice what you've already worked at home, what you worked in your car. That's the work element. You come here, it's to practice your work that you should have already done. Don't think that in the 3 hours that you try to cram everything in is the only time that you're going to get to rehearse. That's not. And work, that doesn't work. It's too much going on.
I gotta jump in right there. Yeah. Hold that list, but that is such a big one, right there. The rehearsing is, I heard it described as it's basically the same thing, but it's like rehearsal is where you get together and you show everybody what you did at home.
Yeah, what you
practiced at home. But yeah, and you notice that like the show doesn't go anywhere or it goes very slowly. Mm-hmm. If the only effort and work that you put into it is at the rehearsal.
Yep.
But it just jumps by leaps and bounds when you work on everything at home, and then everybody comes back and everybody's worked on something, and it just, man, it goes to the next level.
People are so quick to go, man, a lot of time was wasted rehearsal. Well, because you're not looking at the big picture of everything that's going on. It goes so fast. So if you do the work at home, then you get to practice that work.
And I don't think some actors or performers understand that the audition never ends, even after you got cast.
True.
So the work that you are or aren't putting in is noticed. And some people, once they book the role, let their guard down, and you see that laziness start to seep in a little bit. They're not prepared with their music. They're not there with their blocking. And those are things that people don't realize that affect your casting in the future. Because your next show, you're going to go into an audition. You're going to nail that audition. You're going to be better than you were before, but you're not going to book it. And it's going to be directly because of the work you did not put in the previous show.
Right.
That would be correct, right? You would say that happen. That's a big, yeah.
It does. And sometimes there's grace there and you go, it was a fluke. They had a bad day. They were going through a lot. And you, as a director, go, all right, let's try it again. And it could be 50 times before you go.
Which is what you would do at an audition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you stop them and say, try that again. Which is what you're doing during the audition process or during the rehearsal process as well. It's just a little bit of a longer process. So, yeah.
I'll just bust through these and people could re-listen to it if they want, so I don't kill too much time on this. But thank you, Five. Acknowledge that you heard it. And someone's giving you a note at rehearsal.
Dude.
Don't take the moment. Don't take the moment to say, well, I don't get it. How come? Write it down. Talk about it after so you're not wasting time. And I don't care if you really go, like, thank you, Five. It's about acknowledging that you received the information. You may not agree with it, and that's fine. We could talk about it after, but don't take that 3 hour, 4 hour time frame to argue that. Wait till after. So just show people, the director, production team, they received the information. What was your dude, Mike?
It's the other thing that annoys me.
Thank you, Five.
Yes.
I won't unfollow you. again. And then stay in your lane. Like, literally, I really wrote down this in the thing I wrote. I said, follow your direction. You don't need to direct other people. Like, you don't need to over-direct. You don't need to get involved. Let the director and let them do their part. Because you're doing your track, your journey. Helping a friend out's a different story. You could share your ideas privately with a cast member. That's okay. Always speak up. Like, if something's not safe, talk about it. And then respect the space. Obviously, we talk about this all the time. Don't touch props. Don't touch things that aren't yours. If there's an issue, communicate. Talk to them before it becomes a big explosion. And then, as far as rehearsals go, as an unsaid rule, if you know you're going to wear heels, start wearing heels. If you're going to wear a dress, wear a dress. If you're wearing dress pants, wear dress pants. Start doing that on your own so you practice right. Be kind. Support each other. High fives. Don't discourage others. Those are all unsaid rules that I go by. And then, obviously, don't be toxic. Don't avoid gossip. Fake, let me help you. Like, avoid that kind of stuff. Stay professional. Support the team. Support your leaders. They're going through it, too, and they have a lot on their plate as well. And just as the leaders should support you. And then, basically, I end that. Is like, just be kind, professional. And then, this is the last thing I said. Directors will remember who you were in rehearsal. So it touched on what you said, Alfonso. And I kind of paraphrase a lot of that. But if they want to listen to my blah, 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 they can. But I think that's it for me.
Unsaid rules. Did you plan that beforehand?
No, I have. So a book I'm writing on, I have like...
I want to redo my answer after that.
I have like, I have like five or six like kind of the audition process. Now I've been cast. Here's rehearsal. Here's how we act. I just have these blogs. I want to put like a whole like little book together.
You said those are your unspoken rules. Those should be the spoken rules.
Well, they are spoken, but for new people coming in, those are good things to start with.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot more.
hey, I will tell you, this kind of goes with one of the things Nathan just said in his... when I was a freshman in college, and I remember, I did not know a whole lot about theater. It was just going, you know, I'd done a little bit of high school theater, and just enough to, you know, realize I want to do this in college too. And so I was taking the college class, and the theater professor there was also the director of the Ramona Pageant, which is the California State Play. It's a big outdoor thing, and there was a lady that was coming to audition for the part of Ramona, and that's the main female role there. And she walks in, and, you know, I'm just used to seeing all the other actors, all the other, you know, teenage college actors, you know, their first couple years there. And this lady walks in. She's wearing a business suit. She's got a briefcase, and she's walking in to meet with the director. She goes over there, and that was just seeing that, it was like, wow, that made a big impression on me, because she's taking this very seriously. Like, this is not some little show she's just going to audition for. This is a life-changing show right there, and she is showing she is all business here. And I'm sitting there wondering, like, what has she got in that briefcase? And, you know, just all the stuff you need, you know, copies of the script, extra pens and pencils, mm-hmm. and a notepad, yep. and just, you know, everything that you would need. But she's showing, like, she's coming in, she is taking this very, very seriously. And I guess one of the things I want to add on mine, is, you know, Nathan said it all there.
Sorry.
That was an impressive list there. I think one of the things that I also like to let them know is our audience is coming. Mm-hmm. And the audience is, it's like we want to make the magic for them. And that is what is like super important to me. It's important that the actors have a great experience, and it's really, really important to me that the audience have a fantastic experience with everything. I mean, we're a dinner theater, so it is important to me that the audience enjoys the food. And if they don't, even though I'm not in charge of that aspect, you know, there's a whole other chef and servers and everything like that that we, you know, we bring in. But that's important to me, that before they get to the show, that they're having, that they're enjoying the food, and that when we have a pre-show concert, that music is going really well and that they're liking it. And I don't know, and that the show is just an experience that they can't get anywhere else. And that is really, really important to me. And I let the audiences or the actors know that it's like we have to have a good time. And when the audience sees us having a good time, it's going to make them have a good time. And not just that it's all fun and games, but it's that there's this, I guess we're looking for this positive energy that comes from working with a group that you feel like really excited to be with and really excited to create with every night.
Well, I'm like tagging. I tell the cast all the time, our job, and I think actors forget this, our job as directors is to be the audience's ears, their expression, what they feel, whether it's temperature, whether it's emotion, whether it's excitement, whatever we're trying to create. We're the audience's, like, we're their ears and voice until they show up. And that's a great point. The audience is coming. And our job is to help the cast see and feel what the audience hopefully is going to think and feel. And it's so important. And I think we get caught up in that. And I think part of that attitude is, and I say this a lot, while we're a community theater, we're still a professional community theater, because the integrity is, no matter if it's a dollar or $5,000, you should be giving your all every time. And these people, and I even look at community theater a little bit, I think it's a little bit more of a sacrifice, because everyone that's coming to do at least my theater or our theater is doing a full-time job. They're juggling their families, their lives. They just did 8 to 12 to 10-hour shifts, days. They're juggling getting kids to practice, to school, to friends, church, whatever they're doing. And then they come to rehearsal and then give their all there in that moment. And I think I take so much pride and responsibility in that, and I value that so much that I don't accept when people come in. I don't accept when people come in and go, nah, it's just community theater, I don't care, whatever. I don't accept that because I take so much pride in the fact that everyone that shows up, whether your cast be one person or 65, 100 people, they're coming to sacrifice and give all that. I take that seriously. So when people come in with a little bit of a different attitude, it's like, uh-uh, not okay, we're professional.
Well, but what if they won an award?
Well, then I'll follow them because you're not. Anyhow.
Well, John just gave us the wrap-up signal, but, you know, I would say a lot of those would be categorized under don't make it about you. If you don't make it about you, you're going to be working toward the greater good for the bigger of the show, and you contribute your part, everybody contributes that part, communicate, you're going to have a great time. So, some awesome. Great answers again. So, for the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast, this is Alfonso.
All right.
With Michael and Nathan.
Hey, we'll catch you next time.
Later.